So, Brother Springer just talked about how God works the music together. The message today is a heart for God. And this happened the last time I was here to preach. God has a way of knowing what he wants to pass on to his people. Amen. So, near to the heart of God, right? What an amazing testimony to the God we serve, that he knows all things. He knows where we're at in our lives. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And as I prepared this message, one of the things that I do before I get ready to preach is I ask God, I say, Lord, they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. And what is it that you want to say to your people? This is not something that I... think of, okay, what do the people of Open Door Baptist Church need to hear? And preach what I want to preach. I wait on the Lord to give me what I feel that he wants you to hear. And it's just amazing to see God work, like I said, work in that ministry, the music ministry together. So as we begin here today, we're here on January 1st. You made it to 2023, right? So we think about those in the past that maybe didn't make it out of 2022, and God didn't see fit for them to make it to where we are today. So we should be waking up this morning praising God that we have the opportunity to rise up out of bed, and we have the opportunity to come to church, and we get to open up God's Word and hear from the Lord to see what God has for us today. I was just talking to Brother Springer a little bit ago, and I mentioned this. I said, when I preach, I'm preaching to myself. And you get to listen. And so please don't think that when I preach the Word of God that I am trying to purposefully offend anybody or target anybody. I don't use the Word of God to attack people. I use it to encourage and exhort and edify. So that's my heart. I hope you guys will understand that. I hope you enjoy the journey as we begin to preach the Word of God here in a moment. But one of the things that come to mind is... for me, I like to make goals for 2023, 2022. How many of you make goals for the year? Like, how many of you set up, like, I want to accomplish this, I want to read so many books, I want to, you know, maybe read God's Word front to back, I want to read 4 chapters a day, or I want to, you know, you set a goal. Excuse me. One of the things I want to encourage you from this message is that when you're setting your goal for 2023, have a heart for God. That's where God is speaking to me today, is to have a heart for God. We can get busy in our lives coming into this year, have all these plans, and forget God and leave him behind. And if you're here this morning in Sunday school, God has instruction for you for your life this year. And there's great promises to be had and great reward for being obedient to God. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 22. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read through 6, and then we'll open up in prayer, and we'll get started here this morning. Joshua 22:1 says, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you." So here we see that he's telling them that they've obeyed their commandments. "Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them." There again the promises. "Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto your land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan." And then this is going to be where the majority of our lesson or the message is going to be from today in verse 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, And they went unto their tents. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again so much for this opportunity, Lord, to open up your word. Lord, I pray that you have prepared our hearts, Lord Father, to receive your word. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be able to preach the word of God, Lord Father, to your people. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that we would leave this place different than we came. Father, we just thank you for it all. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So we see Joshua's reminder to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And this is also a great reminder to us to have a heart for God. You see, in verse 5, it says, but take diligent heed to. That word diligent means to be steady in application, constant in effort, or exhortation to accomplish, and not to be idle or negligent. So here, Joshua's reminding them that they need to be steady in application. Heed there means attention or regarding or observation. So we're reminded to have a steady attention or a constant regard for the diligent heed to. Okay, so Joshua's telling them that they need to have this diligent heed. Number one thing we see in verse 5, it says, to love the Lord your God. So he's saying, be diligent to love the Lord your God. The Bible commands us hundreds of times to love the Lord. This is a commitment of our affections. That would be our desires and our passions. In Matthew chapter 22, in verse 36, it says, Master, so Jesus is being questioned here, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So they're trying to trip Jesus up here, and they're asking these questions, and I believe it was either a lawyer or a scribe that asked this question. And in verse 37, this is what Jesus says. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Jesus confirmed, as recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the commandment to love the Lord thy God. So when we think about our love for God, what does that look like? When I think about what does my love for the Lord look like? Maybe that's something that maybe you want to ask yourself today is, what does my love look like for the Lord? Do I really love the Lord, or do I love the Lord in word and not deed? And how close am I to the Lord? Who can think of somebody here today that you're like, man, I really, really, really love that person? How many of you have somebody that you really love? Raise your hand. Praise God. How many of you are like, I don't like anybody, right? Okay. We'll work on that. How many of you don't like Brother Michael? No, just kidding. Don't answer that. All right? Brother Springer might not have me come back. All right. So, anyway, we understand what love is, right? Sometimes it's hard to put it into words, but love is not just a feeling, right? Love is an action. You know, why do we do what we do for those that we love? We put it into action. We're not just saying, well, I love you, and then I don't tell my wife I love her, and then not provide for her, or not protect her, or show her affection and care for her, right? Because if I did that, my wife would be like, do you really love me? You say you love me, but your actions don't reflect that, okay? So when we think about the love the Lord thy God, you know, he says, keep my commandments. Well, what does God want us to do? Well, he gives us all these things. So now, let me be clear. Your salvation has nothing to do with keeping the law, right? Right? So we're justified by faith, right? But we do follow what God tells us to do because we love him, right? So God tells us to love. Jesus here says, said unto them, thou shalt. That's a command. When you think of the word shall or shalt, that's not do it if you want to. You know, you may. May is like you may, but shall or shalt means you shall do it. So God, Jesus is saying, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We see in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14a, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth is compels us. So Paul reminds us that the love of Christ constraineth us or should compel us to love God. Because Christ loved us, we should love him with all of our being. How many of you have ever had somebody lay down their life for you? Everybody? Okay. All right. Everybody. But let's just put it into this context. If you had your best friend, and say you're walking down the street and somebody has a weapon and they're going to take a life. Okay? And your best friend, right before they pull the trigger, jumps in front of you and they take the shot. And they pass. Okay? And they die, they sacrifice their life for you. Let's put it in that context. And then somebody was to use their name in a derogatory way later on in life. What emotion comes to mind? What emotions come in? Anger. Right? Because we love that person and they loved us enough to die for us and they sacrificed their life for us. When somebody was to defame their name, we would get a rise. And yet Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary, paid the price for our sin. But when people use his name in vain, what emotions do we have? Do we love the Lord so much? We're like, hey, easy. That's my Savior. That's the one that died for me. He loved me and you so much that he hung on a cross and paid the price for you and me. And when we think of that love, do we have the same love for Christ that we would for the one that laid down their life for us? Love is a decision to never let the fire of devotion for God to die out in my heart. As our love for the Lord grows, our understanding of his infinite love for us grows, and we grow and develop spiritually. So when we make a decision to never let the fire of devotion for the Lord die out in our heart. Day by day, moment by moment, keeping that fire lit in our heart for the Lord. The hymn writer, Helen Limmel, stated, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Are we turning our eyes to Jesus? Are we looking in his face? When we search the scriptures and read God's word and spend time with him because we love him and try to do what God called us to do because we love him, do the appeals of the world start to soften? Do the pulls and the attractions of the things of this world, do they not seem so appealing to us? Are they maybe not so tempting? When you're with the one you love, when I'm with my wife, I love her more and more every day, right? I get to wake up, and I promise not to embarrass them, but I look forward to waking up in the morning and you know, giving her, I'm a morning person, she's not, so I like to, you know, give her, like, wow, you know, one of my famous lines, and she's like, whatever, you know, I always wake up, and I'm like, you know, whew, I'm like, the essence of ivory beauty. You know? And she's like, whatever, you know? But I love her. And the more time I spend with her, the more I love her. And the longer we've been together, when we first started dating, I thought I loved her. Okay. You know, you teenagers, you're like, oh, I'm in love. Yeah, you are. Yeah. You know, wait till you got to pick up laundry off the floor, right? Or you got to make the dinner and the house is almost on fire and the kids are in disarray and, you know, then your love really comes to pass, right? You'll really understand love at that point. But the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we will grow to love him, okay? As we focus upon Jesus, our love for him grows. Our understanding of his love increases. As a result, we will grow and develop a deeper heart for God. So sincerity, honesty of mind or intention, freedom from hypocrisy, disguise, or false pretense, a declaration of love. So Ephesians 6:24 is what that's describing. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Are we sincere in our love to the Lord? Do we sincerely love the Lord, or do we have what is described here, an honesty of mind or intent, a freedom from hypocrisy? Are we disguising or false in our pretense towards our love towards God? So when we come to church, you know, everybody puts on their best, their Sunday best. They come to church, they got their Bible, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And then Monday comes around and your feet hit the floor and you're like, oh Lord, right? And then by Wednesday, you haven't talked to the Lord. And then you come to church and it's like, oh Lord, you know, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. And by Friday, we forgot the Lord again. Guilty, right? I'm not just preaching at you. Guilty. And the reason that happens is because maybe we don't properly love the Lord the way we should. We're not striving, we're not compelled to love the Lord because of the love he had for us. We forget it. I mean, if you've been married or maybe been or loved someone for a while, maybe that love starts to dwindle, and then you have to remind yourself why you love that person. And the same thing with the Lord. You got to spend time with the Lord to remind yourself sometimes, this is why I love the Lord. Okay? The second thing we see here is to walk in all his ways. So Joshua 22:5 says, But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God. And the second thing is to walk in all his ways. This is a commitment of our direction. What direction are we heading? We determine by faith to go in God's direction on purpose. How many of us get in the car and say you're going to go somewhere, and you know where you want to go, where you're supposed to be heading, and then you just take your hands off the wheel and push the gas and go? Anybody? Who has a Tesla? Anybody? Okay, no. When you're going somewhere, you go there on purpose. You have direction. Before we decide which direction to go, we need to find out which way the Lord is going and head that direction. Proverbs 3:5-6, as I referenced before, is my life verse, and it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We see here that we're acknowledging God. The Bible says you need to acknowledge him. That is taking the time to say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And the Bible promises that if we do that, it says, he shall, not may, he shall direct thy paths. God's going to, if you inquire of the Lord, he's going to show you where he wants you to go. So he will direct your paths. In life, we often make decisions without consulting the Lord or seeking his will. And this is us outside of his will for our life. It's very easy for us to think about what we want to do in life and the things that we want to accomplish. Like I just asked, if we're setting goals for 2023, how many of us take the time to inquire of the Lord, what do you want me to accomplish this year? And is that the number one thing on our goal list? It's always good to have a goal of where you're going for the year, not to sit and flounder. It's good to have the goal of, I want to read my Bible again this year. And what does it take to accomplish that? Anybody know how many chapters a day you have to read? Anybody? If you read 2 in the New Testament, 2 in the Old, you'll probably get through the Bible in a year. Okay? So that's a good goal, right? Have that written down. Or maybe it's, I want to try to win so many people to the Lord. I want to witness to so many people this year. Or I want to, you know, maybe start a new ministry in my church. Those are good things to have. But I want to encourage us to have the Lord at the top of that goal list. You know, love him. Walk with him. Consult him. The Bible says in Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with the Lord after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You see, Enoch walked with God. The Bible says he walked with him. And did Enoch do that by happenstance? No, he did it on purpose. Okay, step by step, choosing to walk in the same direction as the Lord. This applies to all of our decisions in life. The Word of God reveals the will of God for our lives. We kind of talked about that earlier. Is when we have something in our lives that we're trying to decide what to do, may I encourage you to pick this up. Spend time on your knees. Lord, what will you have me to do? And it's amazing. If you've ever experienced this, you understand what I'm talking about. It's amazing when you're reading through your Bible and God's like, are you paying attention? Because right here's what I want you to get. You've been praying about this? Here's the answer. Mark it down. Write it down. Underline it. Write it in a notebook. Keep it. But God will give you what he wants you to have. But God's word will reveal that in our lives, what path he wants us on. Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? We must make a deliberate choice to seek, know, and follow the Lord in the direction he wants us to go. This is a challenge. Amen. This is a challenge for me. This is a challenge for most Christians. It's easy to get wrapped up in the world and just kind of get focused on what's going on around us. Not take time to love the Lord, not time to seek out his guidance and direction for us in our lives. But this is vitally important to us as Christians. This is more important than anything else we'll do in our lives. Because when you're on the path that God wants you on, you're going to get the blessings that God wants you to have. And you're not going to miss them. The third thing we see in the scripture here is to keep his commandments. So we need to be diligent to keep his commandments. We see that the Lord charged you to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to keep his commandments. This is a step of submission. Our greatest struggle we face does not come from the world or Satan and his attacks. Our greatest struggle is with our own flesh. My way or God's way? How many of you have flesh? Amen. How many of you have desires, wants, wishes? And God's saying, this is what I want you to do, and I'm not going to submit to that. What's the danger in that? From our Sunday school lesson we learned in James, the Bible says, hang in there with me, okay? I'm going to test you a little bit from this morning. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Yes? Ah, it's not exactly what it says. The Bible says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. The strength does not come from you, it comes from the Lord. When we talk about submission here, our greatest struggle we face is our flesh wanting to submit to God's will. If we're not willing to submit to God and his will, guess what? We don't have the protection. We put ourselves at risk to Satan's attacks because we're not submitted unto God's will. There's times when, you know, maybe in the morning when I feel like I'm rushed, I got all these things that I need to do, and maybe you're like this, and you're like, man, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible, but I really don't have time, and I've done this, and I'll get it tonight, or I'll get it when I get back home. And I rush off, and I do my day, and everything is a disaster. Because you don't take the time with the Lord. You're not submitting to what's God's will? Spend time with Him. To love Him. And then there's times when, like, I don't even have time of day to see straight. I got so many things to do. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going to spend time with You first. I'm going to take my time with You. And I get accomplished everything that is on the task. What a great reminder to me and you that Satan wants to get you distracted from doing what God has called you to do and spending time with Him, making you think that under your own will and your own flesh and your own desires, you can get accomplished what you need to get accomplished, when in reality, you need to spend time with the Lord so that you can get those things accomplished. We have to make a choice to obey what we know is right to do, or to disobey and do what our flesh wants us to do. It's a choice. Every day we have a choice, moment by moment. One of the things that come to mind, we had this discussion a few weeks back, and that was, as you go through go through your day, you don't just wake up in the morning and you say, well, I'm going to make a decision this morning. I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to do right. And then just go about your day and not think about it again. As you go through your day, things are going to come your way, and it's going to be a moment-by-moment decision and choice. Lord, am I going to obey what You want me to do, or am I going to obey my flesh? When this opportunity or temptation comes, am I going to obey my flesh, or am I going to do what God called me to do? We don't wake up in the morning, spend time with the Lord, and then say, okay, now that I've done this, I'm going to be 100% for the rest of the day. It doesn't happen like that. It's a moment-by-moment choice decision throughout the day. So, we have that choice. Are we going to obey God, or are we going to disobey and obey our flesh? Paul speaks of this dilemma in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 24. It says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. How many does that sound like, huh? That sounds like us. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Again, in the morning, determine I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to live for God, and then 20 minutes later, you're driving down the interstate, somebody cuts you off, and you lose your temper. I'm going to be like that. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then this one, verse 24, O wretched man am I, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What a question. How many of us think, how many of you wake up in the morning and think to yourself, look in the mirror and you're like, oh, wretched man am I. Amen. I do wake up sometimes and I'm like, who is that, right? Like, who are you and what did you do with the younger version of me, right? But here Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. He's examining himself. He understands himself. He's not elevating himself to think he's better than he is. He's acknowledging the true Paul. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he has this question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, if you go down to verse 24, the answer to verse 24 is in chapter or verse 25. He says, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's your answer. Who's going to deliver you from these things? Jesus. Amen. Keeping the Lord's commandments are not grievous, but we can be victorious as we obey through His power. And that's found in 1 John 5, 2 through 4. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Each day, moment by moment, as we described, we have a choice. Moment by moment. Minute by minute. Second by second. Day by day. Are we going to keep his commandments? When we come to church and we find that somebody is maybe having a bad day and they're not as lovable as they normally are, is there a commandment to love them? Amen. Are they your neighbor? Are they your fellow brother or sister in Christ? Remember, we talked about love not being a feeling, it's an action. You're making a choice to love them. And we have members in our churches, maybe, that are not all the same, praise God, right? We have different personalities and different lifestyles and that in our churches, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to love someone than somebody else, and we get along with somebody differently. But we're still commanded to love each other and edify each other and exhort one another and encourage one another. When we come to church, we should be trying to encourage one another. You know, it's easy to talk about the things in the world, but maybe it's as simple as, hey, what did you read in the Bible this week that encouraged you? What is something you're trying to do for the Lord? What is something that the Lord spoke to you about that you're trying to accomplish? And then praying for them and encouraging them. The next thing we see, and the fourth thing is, and he says to be diligent to cleave unto him. Now we've got, I'll paint the picture for you here, but this is a step of dependence on the Lord. In Hebrew, the word cleave means to cling to or to hold fast. So how many of you have seen a child, like when the mother is like, they put them in a situation where the child's uncomfortable, right? And you ever seen a child cling to their mother's leg or their father's leg? And they're like, and you're carrying your kid along and it's, right? That's cleaving, that's clinging. Okay, that's the picture I want you to kind of get in your mind. Another example is of someone who maybe has a fear of flying. And, you know, you take off, the pilot takes off, and the person's just like clinging, cleaving to their chair. They're scared to death. They're not leaving that. They're just holding on. That's the picture that we're trying to paint. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So here in Psalm, we see in verse 28, it says, but it is good for me to draw near to God, to cleave unto God. He's telling, Joshua tells us here that we need to cleave unto him, to hold on to him. The next thing we see is we need to serve him in this text. To serve him with all of our hearts and with all of our soul. This is a test of our priorities. The challenge is to serve, work, labor, minister with our entire being. He doesn't say serve him with half your heart, half your soul, half your mind. Do it half-heartedly. He says with all your heart, with all your soul. Joshua 22:5 says, but take diligent heed to do the commandments of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all of his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Serving God is not a position we fill, but a priority we follow. Serving him is the priority of ministering to others for his glory. Again, when we come to church, exhorting, edifying, and encouraging one another to serve the Lord. Encouraging those in the world for salvation. Oftentimes we find ourselves having no time for serving God simply because it's not a priority in our lives. We have other things to occupy our time, occupy our minds. We need to be looking for opportunities to serve the Lord. And then the question I have here is, what are we doing to serve the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? As we set our goals for 2023, again, the challenge is to love the Lord, to have a heart for God. As you set those goals, or maybe as you think forward to 2023, what is it that you want to accomplish for God? What is it that God wants you to accomplish for him? Do you love him? Do you have a desire to grow closer to him? Do you have a desire to serve him? And as I stated before, this is a challenge for me, and you get to listen. This is something that God convicted me about is, son, how much do you love me? How much? Because God already answered that question, how much he loves us. He sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, you can. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's everybody. That's the people that walk by you in the mall. That's the people next to you at work. That's everybody. God loved us so much. He loved the world so much. That maybe we love the Lord enough to tell somebody else this week, maybe. Maybe spend some time in prayer and ask God, who is it? Lord, direct my path to that one person that needs to hear. Who is the one person that's on the edge of death tomorrow? By the end of the day, they'll no longer be here. That they need to hear about salvation. They need to hear about the love of Christ and what he did for them. And put me in their path. Right? Trust in the Lord, and he will direct that path. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. We'll close with that. Please love the Lord. Please have a heart for God this year. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you for the love that you had for us, Lord Father. We pray that the love of Christ would constrain us, compel us, Lord Father, to love you the way we should. Lord, I pray that every morning, every moment, by day, Lord, that we would seek to serve you, Lord Father, to love you more, to spend time with you, to seek out your will in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would continually challenge us from your word. Lord, encourage us, exhort us, Lord Father. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love one another as we ought to. Lord, I pray that when others see us, they see the love of Christ shining through us. Father, I pray that our heart would be all yours this year. Lord, I pray that you would give us a burden for your word. Time with you, Lord Father, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.